Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing with the Daf Yomi, Daf Nun. Today's Daf is Daf Nun, Daf 50. It's a very special Daf, very good Daf, B'zad Hashem. All of them are good. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlema of Father Mecholim. V'chladam, Chemda, Baruchah, Hanushan, and Mechon, Mechon, Rivka, Sarah, Banu, Meir, Shalom, Sarah, David, Merchon, Yifah, Bedevar, Rivka, Bedevar, Rivka, Rivka, Bedevar, Shalom, Mishar, Farah, Medam, Shalom, Mechon, Yifah, Ben Miriam, Yehudam, Yifah, Chaya, Sarah, Betuchah, Rivka, Mechana, Simchah, Ben Maka, Miriam, Adekho, Bedevar, Miriam, Chana, Adana, Ben Omer, Chaz, Sabah, Tamar, Sabah, Chana, Gebar, Gedevar, Barachah, Adana, Meisar, Yitzchah, Mani, Yaakob, Tamar, Maka, Leishah, Ben Ezer, Yom, Nifah, Yosef, Ben Deborah, Shalom, Moshe, Ben Penina, Yosef, Ben Yifah, Daniel, Ben Dina, Simchah, Ben Afra, Medam, Gedevar, Yaakob, Shalom, Kidelu, Kidelu, Elina, Vagab, Miriam, Gabriel, Yosef, Ben Achamachana, מכה בדסר, הרב שלמה משלם, סי מלאכים דוד הרב הנפקה, ולהבדיל ונשמע דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן יצחק, ליל דינה בת אפרים, שמעון מירושלים, נמילה מכה מתן, ועז בן אברהם דינה בת אהרון, תמר מלאכה בת אברהם, משה בן רפאל, ולהבדיל הרעיון דברה בת מרים. Okay, we left off at the bottom of 49b, מם תת עמוד בית, 5 lines on the bottom. איבאי להו, we are going back, and we brought a statement, if you remember, from רבי אלעה. רבי אלעה said, if we go back a little further up on page 49b, he had a statement. He said, in Usha, in the city of Usha, and we're going to see on today's daf, there are many things that in the city of Usha they were established. But he said that if somebody writes all of his property to his children, him and his wife can now be taken care of from that property. So the Gemara says, Ibai Elohu, Hilchata Kevatei, Olet Hilchata Kevatei. Is the halakha like him, or is the halakha not like him? So the Gemara says, Tashema. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonatan, both of them, Havu Kaimei, they were both standing. Ata Hu Gavra, there was this person who came, Gachin Vin Nashke, Rabbi Yonatan Akare. He bowed down and he kissed Rabbi Yonatan's leg or foot. So Amar Le, Rabbi Chanina, Mai Hai, Rabbi Chanina, look, he's like, what's going on over here? So Amar Le, Kotev Nechasev Le Banavu. He said, this is someone who wrote all of his properties to his children. And flipping the Amud, va'asitinhu lezane, and he says, and I forced them, the children, to feed him. Meaning, it sounds like it's not an obligation. So the halacha does not follow Rabbi Ilah. So the Gemara explains, iamar bishlama lavdina. If you say it's not an actual law that he has to support, the children has to support them. Mishum hachi asinu. That's why he had to force the children. Ela iamar dina. But if you say it actually is a law, asinu ba'e, then do you need to force them? If it's a law that they have to keep, then why would you need to force them? I mean, I have a simple question on this. It could just be, maybe the children didn't want to support, even though it is the law. So why does it need to be that, oh, because he forced him, it must be that it's not a law. That's not necessarily the case. It could be that it is a law, and it could be they just didn't want to keep it. But anyway, that's a question if anyone has an answer. Amar Rabbi Ilah, another statement by Rabbi Ilah. If you remember, we had three statements. The first one had three names of Amoraim. The second one had two names. The last one now is the third one. It only has Rabbi Ilah's name. Amar Rabbi Ilah, Be'usha hitkinu, in Usha they established HaMevazbez, Al Yevazbez Yoter Mechomesh. If somebody is Mevazbez, what does that mean? He wastes money, Chas V'Shalom. Really the explanation is, he's giving to Ani, he's giving to a poor person, and it's actually a big question, why does he use the word HaMevazbez? Somebody who wastes money, Chas V'Shalom, to give to a poor person, he should not use more than one-fifth of his money. So, meaning he shouldn't use more than one-fifth, he should be at least left with four-fifths of his money. So, I mean, why does he use the word ha-mebazbez? It could use the word like ha-noten, you know, someone who gives to the anim should not give more than one-fifth. Why does it say ha-mebazbez? That's usually a word of waste. So I think the idea is that when you are giving more than one-fifth, the Chachamim understood that that is considered wasteful on your end because you are now hurting your own lifetime, because Rashi explains that a person, he may have to come now to start requesting money from other people now and become poor as a result. So that would be why maybe an idea could be mevazbez, but I'm sure there's many explanations. Tanina miyachi, you have a brighter just like this. Hamevazbez, ali vazbez yoter mechomesh. Someone who's giving to the poor people should not give more than one-fifth. Shema itztarich lebriot, because he might need the poor people to take care of him if he gives more. There's actually, I think, a Bala Tanya, if I'm not mistaken, who says that if it's for kaparat avonot, if a person is doing it for atonement of his sins, he's allowed to give more than one-fifth. Umaaseh be'echad shebikesh lebazbez yoter mechomesh. There was a case that one person, he wanted to give more than one-fifth, ve'lo hiniach lo chavero, and his friend did not allow him. Umanu, and who is that friend? Rabbi Yeshbav, that's Rabbi Yeshbav. Ve'amri la, some say, Rabbi Yeshbav was the one who wanted to give, ve'lo hinichro chavero, and his friend didn't let him. Umanu, and who is the friend? Rabbi Akiva, some say it was Rabbi Akiva. who didn't allow him. It's actually an interesting story, just a short point, because it's a very beautiful Gemara about the Chacham Or Letzion, Rav Or Letzion, Abba Shaul. He was the Rabbi Ben Chaim's Rav Muvak. So they say, I heard a story about him that one time he was giving more than one-fifth. So he was giving more than one-fifth to charity. So his students came and asked me, he said, Rebbe, he said, what's going on over here? I thought you're not allowed to give more than one-fifth to the poor people. And so he said, if I'm not mistaken, the Baal HaTanya writes that it's, if it's for kaparat avonot, for atonement of your sins, you're allowed to give more than one-fifth. So the students look at him and say, Rabbi, what sins do you have that you're trying to atone for? Chacham ben Tzion Abba Shaul. So he said, I'm atoning for the sin that I'm giving one-fifth. That was the joke. Okay, anyhow. Amar Rav Nachman, v'itema Rav Acha bar Yaakov, some say it's Rav Acha, my crowd, what's the pasuk for this? V'chol asher titen li, aser aserenu lach. That anything give me, I should give, and it's a double language, ma'aser sounds like you have to give two ma'asers. So it's 20%, up to 20% a person can give to charity. So the Gemara says, v'ha lo damei isura batra l'isura kama. But the, if you have two ma'asers, right? If I have 100 fruits, if I give 10, that's the first ma'aser, I'm left with 90, then 10% of that would be 9. So I didn't really give, the second set of 10% is not the same set as the first set of 10%. So why are you saying this is 20%? It's really not, it's really about 19%. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, aserenu lebatra ki kama. The explanation of the pasuk is you should give your latter ma'aser, the second set of 10%, should be the same amount as your first set of 10% to get to 20%. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, ushmuot halalu mitma'atot veholchot. These teachings that we just had, the three teachings in the name of Rabbi Ila, one of them had three amoraim. The second one had two amoraim, and this last one is only one amora. So the Gemara says they are minimizing an amoraim each time it goes through. V'simanich, and how do you remember the order of which one is three, two, and one? Ketanim katvu ubizbezu. Says the children wrote and were mevazbez. What does that mean? The first case was three amoraim was the case that if a person gives to the children, right, whenever the children are young, if he has to support them or not, that was the first case of Rabbi Ila. Then he says the second case was hakotev nechasav lebanav, someone who writes his properties to his children that he can be taken care of. That was with two amoraim. And this third case is the final case with Rabbi Ila. It's talking about someone giving to the charities, only mentioning his name. So it goes in order of three, two, and one. Rashi explains, so you'll never forget which one was three amoraim, which one was two, and which one was one. The Gemara then continues. Amar Rav Yitzchak, we're going to continue with many different statements in Usha, what they established in the city of Usha. So Usha hitkinu, in Usha they established, yeah, adam itgalgelim beno ad 12 shana, that a person should continue to work with his son until 12 years old, and not to, be too harsh on him with his learning Torah, if he's not, pushing himself, and he doesn't want to learn. But then he says, mikan ve'elach, from that point and on, after 12 years old, yoredi mo lechayav, you should go down and, start pushing him much harder. Right, Rashi explains, lirdoto b'ritzua, with a strap, you should start forcing him. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that really the case?" Veha amar le Rav, the Rav Shemuel Bar Shilat. Rav said to Rav Shemuel Bar Shilat. Rav Shemuel Bar Shilat was a melamed tinakot. He was a teacher of children, of students. So he said, "Batzir mi Bar Shit, under 6 years old, lo takabil. Don't accept him as a student. Not that young. Bar Shit, 6 years old, kabil. You should accept him. V'safele keturan. You should stuff him like an ox. Meaning, you should push the Torah inside of him. Push them very hard." So it sounds like even from age 6, you should start pushing the child very hard for Torah, and not to wait till age 12. So the Gemara says, in, it's not a contradiction, safile ketura, you should stuff him like an ox, miu eino yoredim olechayav, but you shouldn't go down into his life and try to, refrain him and hold him, you hold him very tight. Meaning you push him, but there's a difference between pushing him, according to this first answer, and yoredim olechayav, which we explained is, being very, very harsh on him. Okay, then the Gemara tries to give another answer. Miu, I know you're ready. Mo lechayav ad achar 12 shana, and you don't be too harsh on him until after he's 12 years old. So the Gemara gives another answer. Vi bayit eman, if you want to say la kashya, it's not difficult. Halemikra, halemishna. One explanation was talking about for mikra. Another explanation was for mishnah. The Gemara explains. Da amar abaye, amra li em, says my mother taught me. He didn't have a mother in his lifetime, so it's referring to the nurse that took care of him. Bar shit lemikra, 6 years old, you should already be reading mikra. Bar ese lemishna, and 10 years old already for mishnah. So bar tlesar, and 13 le ta'anitam et leet, 13 years old, I should already be fasting the 24-hour fast. Utinoket, and by a girl, bat tresar, already from 12 years old, she should start keeping that. So you understand over here, from Mikra, you should already start being harsher on him from 6 years old. And from Mishnah, already at 12 years old, you can be harsher on him. And there's a question over here in the Tosfot, the question discusses, but in Pirkei Avot, we know the ages for Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud are different over here, so the Tosfot discusses that question, just, Ayin Sham. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Amra li em. He has another case. He says, my mother or the nurse taught me. Hai barshit de tarkale akraba. If you have the scorpion who bites a 6-year-old, biyoma de mishlim shit luchaye. The day he turns 6, he will not live any longer. My asute. So what's the remedy? How can he live longer? Mirata de daya chivarta beshikra. He says, you should take, you should mix this type of like animal with, it's like a white, type of crawling animal with beer. You should dip it and mix it with beer. Nishpaya uminashkiya. You should rub it on the child and you should make the child drink this, and this will be his remedy. Then the Gemara says, Hari bar shata cherbashe cherbashe. 1-year-old says, the tarikle zibura, that a hornet bites. Biyomad mishlim shata lo chayei chas v'shalom shalom neda. When the day he turns 1, will not live. May asute. What is the remedy for that? So he says, atsuta didikla bimaya. You should dip this part of a palm branch in water, and then you rub it on the child and you make him drink it and he should be healed. We're stating all this because this is all in the name of Abaye, who said in the name of his nurse. That's why we're repeating these different clauses. Amar of Katina, kol hamachniset beno pachon miben shesh, anyone who brings in his child under the age of 6 to start learning Torah very seriously, ratz acharav eno magio, he has to run after him and he won't be able to reach him. Meaning, I think the explanation is that eno magio, Rashi says, mesukanu lamut mirov chulsho, is dangerous for him to die from all of the weakness that he has from learning Torah at such a young age, at such a high level of Torah, so it's a little bit dangerous to do it at such a young age. Ikadamri, some say, chaverav ratzin acherav, that his friends run after him, ve'in magiinoto, and they can't even reach his level. V'tarvayu itnehu, and both explanations are valid, chalish ve'gamir, you can explain it as, he's weak, but he's very learned at the same time, so it could be both. Iba'it, some say, hadikachish, that really it's not the same thing, one is talking about that he's weak, and hadibari, in the case of the friends, is talking about when he's healthy, he's not weak. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, another case. Ba'usha hitkinu, in Usha they establish, Haisha shemachra b'nichsei melog b'chaye bala, a woman who sells her nichsei melog. These are the properties she brings into the marriage for the husband, with the husband. So she's not really allowed to sell them. She sells them during the husband's lifetime, umeta, and then she dies. Ha'bal motzi miyad alakochot. The husband can go and take it away from the people who bought it from her. So Ashkeche Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef found Rabbi Abahu de Havakai b'chlusa de Usha. He was standing in a big gathering in Usha. Amarle man maradishmata de Usha. He said, "Who is the author of this teaching in Usha that we just mentioned?" So he said, "Amarle Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina." It's opinion Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina that he said the woman who sells her melog property, the husband can go and grab it. So he said, Tana mine arba'in zimnin, he learned it from him 40 times, this teaching, v'damele keman de manche le b'kisite. And it was as if he had placed it into his pocket. He knew it so well until he placed it in his pocket. So it could be this is a proof that, until you learn something 40 times, you don't really know it well enough, right? And 40 times is probably not even enough. Okay, now we're going back. So pretty much this whole first part of the daf was going about the different obligations for a father onto a son. We talked about ma'aser, then we went on to talking about the obligations of a father onto a son as to when he has to start learning Torah, when the father has to start teaching him and being more harsh on him. Now we jump back to the topic about the father having to support his children. So we're going to go back on that topic. Ashrei, the pasuk says, Ashrei shomrei mishpat, praiseworthy is the person who keeps the mishpat, oset tzedakah bechol et, and he gives charity at all times. Now the Gemara's question, v'chi efshar la'asot tzedakah bechol et, is it possible to give tzedakah at every single moment? So, darshu rabotenu shebi yavne, they made a drasha, v'amrilan, some say, Rabbi Eliezer said, ze hazan banav u'benotav keshen ketanim. This is referring to someone who supports his children when they are young. Right, because the way Rashi explains it, it's not a chiyuv, it's not an obligation. So since he's doing that, he's now he's keeping above the letter of the law, and this is doing tzedakah at every single moment. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Ze HaMegadel Yatom VeYatoma BeToch Beito. He says no. This is referring to raising an orphans in one's home. Umasian, and then he marries them off. This is a big chesed. Every moment the person has this is giving tzedakah. Then there's another pasuk. Hon ve'osher beveito v'tzidkato omedet la'ad. Wealth in one's house and, you know, righteousness omedet la'ad stands for him forever. So Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, two explanations. Chad amar ze halomed Torah u'melamda. One explanation means, what does it mean that the righteousness stands in one's home forever? This is talking about someone who learns Torah and teaches it. V'chad amar, and someone in one opinion says, ze hakotev Torah nevi'im u'ktuvim u'mashilan la'acherim. This is referring to someone who writes Tanakh. And he lends it out to other people to be able to learn as well. He writes a sefer and he lends it out to people in order for other people to learn as well. Then there's another pasuk, famous pasuk, Urev vanim levanecha, shalom al Yisrael. You should see children for your children, shalom al Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kevan shebanim levanecha. Once you have children for your children, shalom al Yisrael. There will be peace on Yisrael. Delo ati lede chalitza v'ibum. Because there will be no more mitzvah chalitza v'ibum if all of that happens. Because all of the children will have children. So even when they pass away, there's no chalitza v'ibum. It sounds like from here, chalitza v'ibum is not such a peaceful mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Kivan shebanim levanecha, once there are children, your children, shalom al dayanei Yisrael. There is peace for the dayanim of Am Yisrael, delo ati leintzuye. Because now they don't have to go, Rashi says, mikarov ekodem benachala. They don't have to go and decide who comes earlier in their inheritance, who comes later. If they didn't have children, now you have to go and try to investigate, okay, who gets the earlier and who gets inheritance first, right? But if they had children, you know it goes directly towards the children. I mean, there's a huge question on the Rishonim ask on this Rashi, that the Torah tells us the order of inheritance. So why does Rashi need to say that this is the problem? Who goes next? We just look in the Torah. The Torah tells you. So if you look in the Maharsha, I think the Ritva also, they have different explanations how to make Rashi, how to make understandings of Rashi over here, the last Rashi on the page. Then we said in our Mishnah, Zem midrash darash Rabbi Eliezer lifnei chachamim. We said this is the drasha that Rabbi Eliezer said in front of the chachamim in the Keren BeYavne. We said that the sons inherit and the daughters get supported. So flipping the amud, Yativ Rav Yosef kamed Rav Himnuna. He was sitting in Rav Himnuna in front of Rav Himnuna. V'yativ Rav Himnuna v'ka'amar. And Rav Himnuna came and said, Keshem she'en habanim yorshin ele min hakarka. Just like the sons only get inheritance from karka, from actual property. So kach ena banon nizonot ela min karka. So to the daughters, they only get supported from the karka, from the property. So the Gemara says, avish ale kule alma. Everyone started screaming at him. What are you talking about, Rav Himnuna? The shavik ara hu di yartele bene. What, only if the father left property does the son inherit? De lo shavik ara lo yartele bene. If the father did not leave any property, so the son doesn't inherit anything. What about all the movable properties? The metaltelin. So Amar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "V'dilna ketubat benin dechrin ka'amar." Maybe he was talking about something that's called in the ketubah benin dechrin, where the way Rashi explains it. Let's say a man is married to two wives, and they both die. Both of the wives dies, and the wives die, and then he dies. Okay, and he has orphans from both wives, right? But it could be that one wife had many more children, and one wife had less children. So now, if each of them get the mother's ketubah. Now, let's say there's 500,000 for one ketubah, 500,000 for the other. Now, they all divide it up. So the one who had more children, each one will get less than the one who had less children. Right? So this is benin dechrin, the giving over to the sons. So he's saying maybe it's talking about that, and we know that benin dechrin, that part of the ketubah only comes from, it only comes from karka. It doesn't come from movable properties, that part of the ketubah. So maybe that's what the master was talking about, ka'amar mor. So amar le, he said to him, Mor de gavra rabahu de yada maika amena. He says, you are such a great, amazing master. You knew exactly what I was referring to. Amar b'chia bar Yosef, Rav zan mechite de aliyah. He said, Rav supported, these orphans with chite these orphan girls with wheat of aliyah. We don't know what this is, but we're going to see what this is. Ibailu, we have a question. Parnasa havia, was this referring to the dowries that Rav gave them? This is the dowries that is left over by their father. Is that what we're referring to? So umay aliyah, and what does aliyah mean? Mi ilavia de'av. It's referring to the highest level of, I guess, the upper limit of generosity, the father's generosity. Ukedi Shmuel, and following the opinion of Shmuel, is this what it was referring to? The Amar Shmuel, the Shmuel says, Leparnasa shamin ba'av, for the dowry. If let's say the father dies and we don't know how much he wanted to necessarily give, the provision he wanted to give to his children, his daughters, so we would go and assess the mind of the father, how much we think he would really want to give for the daughters. Maybe that's what Rav was giving them. Or maybe, or Dilma, perhaps, Mizonei Mamash Hava. Maybe it was actually supporting them with Mizonot, with sustenance, right? Umay Aliyah, what is Aliyah? Midvarim Tovim Shenemru Ba'Aliyah. That's referring to the great, the good things, the good decrees that were stated in the upper chamber, in the upper chamber. Damar Yitzchak Bar Yosef, because Rav Yitzchak says, Ba'aliyah hitkinu, in the upper chamber, they established, Shiyu banot nizonot min hametaltelin, that the daughters should actually inherit, they should actually be supported from metaltelin, from movable properties. So which one is it? So he says, Tashma, come and listen. Bi'adeder bi'banai, he says, in the hands of Rabbi Banai, Achua, the brother, Derbi Chia Bar Abba, he was the brother of Chia Bar Abba Havu, metaltelin, havu metaltelin diyatmei. Right, he had metaltelin of orphans. After the kamei de Shmuel, he came in front of Shmuel, amarle zil zon. He says, go and support them, go and give them from the metaltelin, the movable properties. So he says, the question is here, my love, the mizone, is this not referring to actual mizonot, actual sustenance? Ukde Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, and what is it referring to? The opinion of Rav Yitzchak, Svir Alei, that we just brought, the opinion of Rav Yitzchak, that's referring to you actually go and you, the aliyah, the upper chamber established, that you actually take care of the orphan daughters with sustenance. Maybe that's what it's referring to, and this is the case over here. The Gemara says, lo. No, that's not what it's referring to. Hatam, over there, leparnasahava. It actually was talking about the dowry, ushmuel leta'ame, and it's referring to Shmuel's opinion, the amar Shmuel leparnasah shamin ba'av, that we go and evaluate after the father's death, if he didn't set a dowry, we evaluate his mindset, what we would have thought he would have wanted to give in that dowry. So it's not referring to sustenance, rather the dowry. Now we're going to go through a bunch of different cases. Hava uvda ben harda. There was a case of Naharda like this by the case of the orphan. So it sounds like from here we don't give from metaltelin, from movable properties. We don't support with mezonot. We don't support the orphan daughters. So the Gemara says there was a case like this in Naharda. V'don dayne de Naharda. And they established, that they made a judgment that no, we'll give them. We're going to give them mezonot. Befumadita, the same case in Fumadita, the Agbe Rav Chana Bar Bizna, and Rav Chana Bar Bizna went and collected property, collected sustenance, mezonot, in order to give to the daughters. Amar lehu Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman came and told them, Zilu Ahadru, go and return, go and retract what you did. V'lo, and if you don't, Magbina lechu leafdenaychu minaychu, I'm going to take away your mansions from you. Meaning, you made a mistake, go and retract your opinions. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they both savur lemizan mitaltele. They thought to support these orphans with movable properties. Amar lehu Rabbi Yaakov Varidi, he said, Milta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish lo avdu ba uvda. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the greatest Amoraim, didn't do such a case and support from movable properties. Atun avdin ba uvda. You're going to go and do such an incident and support with these movable properties? Rabbi Lazar savar lemizan bimetaltelin. Rabbi Lazar thought to support also from movable properties. Amar lefanav Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim. Rabbi Shimon told him, Rabbi, he said, Rabbi, yodea ani becha she'en midat adin ata oseh. He said, I know you're not going to do midat adin, hold the measure of judgment against them. But, and rather, ela midat rachmanut, I know you're going to be very merciful. Ela shema yiru al talmidim, but maybe the students will see that you're being too lenient, you're going against the law, v'ikbeu halacha ledorot, and they're going to establish a halacha for generations now, incorrectly, using movable properties to support these orphans. So he says, okay, and I think we'll stop there for today. Really, we'll just give a 1 minute recap and essentially what we learned. Essentially, this, you know, the first part of the daf where we were talking about, ma'aser. It's really all in that same category of the supporting aspect, where we talked about ma'aser, and that the maximum a person should give is 20%. That was part number one. Part number two is we jumped into the discussions of different establishments that happened in Usha and going through each and every establishment, which led us to part number three, which was if, let's say, going back to the subject actually from the previous daf and the previous dapim of supporting one's children and the different psukim that talk about, that a person can fulfill tzedakah at every single moment. And then flipping to the amud bet, we went through many different cases talking about if let's say there are orphans, if supporting them, if that supporting comes from the dowry that the father leaves, or is that actually coming from supporting and where it comes from? Does it come from movable properties? Does it come only from karka for sons and for daughters? That was pretty much the whole amud bet, going through different topics. like essentially the maskana at the end is that we do not use movable properties to support the daughters. Rather, it has to be from the karka, like the amud bet started on. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.